So at the outset of Mass today, I mentioned to you that we have our three wise men who really were scientists at that time. This is what your classic scientist at the time of Christ would have looked like, is these three men. And you might think that perhaps that's my setup for busting on science from the pulpit today, but I have no interest in doing that. I happen to be as grateful to science as you are. And the church has nothing bad to say about science. But I would like to suggest that these three men who are scientists from their time are a lot wiser than a lot of our scientists today who make the mistake of saying that there is no God, and thereby fail to worship him or give him homage for what is due to God. And they end up sowing a lot of skepticism in the souls of so many of our people in our culture as a result of their, if not practical, certainly their theoretical atheism. And I'm taking this from the Bible. The Bible calls anyone a fool that would say that God doesn't exist. The psalmist says, "The fool has said in his heart, there is no God." And so these three scientists proved to be much wiser than ours today, because they came a long way. We're talking about a two-month journey to worship the living God. And that's what they did. And I don't know about you, they were good at their science. I have no idea how to negotiate the stars to get anywhere. And there they are. They knew how to travel by the stars. I know there are probably people that drive ships and negotiate ships by the ocean. They know how to do it today. That may be one of the few places. Maybe if you're a Boy Scout. But I mean, they did their job really well. They found the Messiah. And when they got there, they worshiped. And my aim today is to try to persuade you of the wisdom of these three scientists and the foolishness of our own in our own day. That will be my aim. I'd like to try to persuade you of that. And to begin by doing this, I'd like to say that if we are honest in this church, I think we could reasonably say that there has been an experiment underway for at least 100, maybe 120 years. An experiment of living life as though there is no God. And I mean, I'm not saying just say previous to 120 years ago, no one lived their life as though there was no God, but in the last 120, 130 years or so, we have undergone an experiment as a human race in such a way that we are experimenting with what life would look like if we were to live it as though there were no God. And I think the results are in after over 120, 130 years that the results are really disastrous. And it doesn't, you don't have to be a technician, a technical historian, or a scientist to do that. You can do a casual reading of 20th century history to know what living as though there is no God has done for us. And I think part of the reason comes from Jesus when he grows up. And you'll recall he was in a conversation with the scribes and the Pharisees when he said this. He said, "Render unto Caesar what is Caesar's, and to God what is God's." But see, if there is no God, what happened was we began to render what was due to God to Caesar, in such a way that it inflated Caesar, who became like a god. And when that happens, all hell breaks loose. And I mean that literally. I'm talking about the camps of Auschwitz, the Gulag under Joseph Stalin, the 100 million Chinese that were killed by Mao Zedong. That's what I'm talking about. When what is due to God is rendered to Caesar, because God doesn't exist anymore, Caesar becomes so inflated that hell breaks loose. And just take a look at the 20th century. There's plenty of empirical evidence for this. Pol Pot in Cambodia, they're there. The hell that was in the train of that denial of God. Because, see, the thing is, once God's existence is denied, the space he occupies doesn't stay empty. It becomes occupied by someone else who isn't God. And of course, it should be no surprise that hell follows in the wake of that, because that is, in fact, Satan's sin. In the very beginning, when he rebelled against God, he wanted to be God. And he's going to try to get us to fill that role once there is no God. And yeah, maybe we might say to ourselves, you know, Joseph Stalin, he's in the past. Adolf Hitler, he's in the past. Pol Pot, Mao Zedong, they're all in the past. But you see, that experiment of living life as though there is no God has now come to roost in the United States. I mean, the statistics are there, the data is there. The Pew Foundation has the data. We have people leaving the faith, leaving the church in droves. I mean, it's a fact. Young, old, middle-aged, all ages. People are jumping ship left and right to undertake the experiment of living life as though God doesn't exist. And we think, well, we're going to do it better this time than maybe Joseph Stalin or Adolf Hitler or Mao Zedong. We're going to do it better. And already, the data coming in, it doesn't look good. It doesn't look good. People are getting hurt. They're getting abused. They're being harmed. You know, when we go to the Bible, on Christmas Day, we heard this reading. In the beginning was the Word, the Logos. The Word was God, and the Word was with God in the beginning, and all things came to be through him. And that Word became flesh in Jesus Christ. And the Bible says he spoke, it came to be. He simply spoke, and it came to be what it was. Male and female, he created them. And today we have our scientists with their white lab coats coming on the scene, and with their mouth, they're saying, no, not just two sexes, but over 100. Really? He spoke. It came to be. Male and female, he created them. And our scientists with our white lab coats are going to come on the scene with their little mouths and speak to us and say, no, there's more than two sexes. There's over 100. And in fact, if you want to dispense with it altogether, it doesn't matter. You can be fluid in your identity. And so the experiment continues. Now, the scientific community itself is in disarray over this very question. And the evidence of the harm being done to especially young people who are falling in for this ideology, the harm being done is being suppressed to us. Books are not being sold on Amazon that contradict this narrative. This is the truth. They're not letting it out. And see, that's what happens to science when it begins to live as though there is no God. It begins to play God and maybe succumbs to the will of the politicians. Or where's the crowd going this week? And then we silence the rest to suppress the narrative. And we no longer trust it. So the experiment has come to roost in our own land, and people are being harmed. A woman who has conceived a child, when there is no God, can terminate the child. A high school student who falls in love for the first time, he or she can violate the marriage bed when there is no God, and even though they're not married. When there is no God, I can lie. I can not go to Mass on Sunday. What does it matter? There's no God to worship anyway. Who has any interest in a relationship with me? Or maybe because there is no God, I can cheat on these exams. I would please just ask you, if you're going to do that, and especially if you're going to be a doctor, please tell me on your resume that you cheated on your exams, because I want nothing to do with you in your office. I don't want to come to you if what you did was cheat your way through high school and undergrad. Be honest with us and tell us that's what you did. You see, it's come to roost. And at this point, I'd like to get a little more personal in a way to kind of tell you what's precipitated this meditation on my part with you. When I got to New Year's Day this year, I felt as though the faith I had in 2021 was insufficient to get me through 2022. I still feel this way. I feel burdened going into another year. New Year's, it's supposed to be happy and glasses of champagne and all the blowing. That isn't what I felt this year. I felt very burdened looking ahead to 2022. And I knew my faith from 2021 was not going to see me through. And that's when I gleaned hope. Truth sets us free. I can't go into 2022 with the same faith I had in 2021. I've got to grow in my faith. And I'll be able to get through 2022. With God, though, because I'm not going to do it without Him. I'd like to suggest the same for all of us here. Are we going to have a good year? I think it can be a great year, but it's not going to be without God. There's no way. There's no way. I mean, if what all you want to do is just get through and, you know, it doesn't matter that maybe at the end of the year you're a zombie or pretty much compromised on everything you believe right now, you'll probably get through, you'll muddle through. But if what you're hoping for is to be a good human being at the end of 2022, if what you're hoping for is that you come out the other end of 2022 a better person than you entered it, I don't think that's possible without God. And this is the good news. God hasn't stayed up in some remote location somewhere. He's come down among us. He's right here. He's right here. And guess what? Three scientists of the ancient world, not even Jewish, not even Catholic, not even Christian, found him. And when they found him, they worshiped. Wow, what genius. What genius. And you know, as you grow in your faith in 2022, it has to begin with an acknowledgement, because this is where faith begins. It really does. It's just this simple. It begins by affirming a simple truth. There is but one God, and I am not He. And I don't feel put down by that. That's very important to add to it. I don't feel put down when someone tells me I'm not God. If you feel put down by that, what is due to God is for some reason being rendered to you, and it's inflating you in a very unhealthy way. And maybe you've been playing God and contributing to hell on earth. And see, this is the deal. All the way to hell is hell, beginning right now. It's miserable. But the good news is, all the way to heaven is also heavenly, beginning right now. And I'm not saying, no, you're not going to have any troubles or challenges or difficulties, but I'm telling you, if the burden of a trial destroys you, it will be because you attempted to negotiate it all by yourself, and it'll fail every time. And when the going gets tough, I think most of us have known and experienced in our lives that there's very few these days that are willing to come and help. Well, I'm here to tell you right now, Jesus Christ will never fail you because He loves you. He loves us. He's coming to us from this altar. He's coming into your life. And He wants to be with you. He wants to help you get through 2022 because He loves you. And that's the truth. And He doesn't come to put you down by helping you realize you're a creature instead of the Creator. If that's a put down, then you've been accepting the illusion of receiving what is due to God to yourself, and that's inflating you in a very unhealthy way. We've got to begin at the beginning, and it's this: there is but one God. I am not He, and I don't feel put down by that. It's okay. That's all right with me to be told that. I'm not bothered by that. It's all right. And you start there, and you come to the one God, and you worship Him. It will relieve you of a tremendous, tremendous inflation. It comes with its own kind of burden instead of a freedom to be what you are, which is a creature. So, brothers and sisters, if there's anything this feast brings to us, it is the example of three wise men, not even of our own religion, let alone that of Christ's. And they were wise because they adored the one true God in Jesus Christ. And I invite you to do the same. Learn from their faith. Adore our Lord Jesus as He comes to you from this altar to be with you and to accompany you, to strengthen you. And there's one other thing I'd like to do before we go into the Eucharist, and that is, we're doing this at all the Masses, turning to Mary, the Mother of God. Mary, perhaps today, is not model for a lot of women because she's kind of considered to be weak or taken in by all the domination, male patriarchy, whatever you want to do in terms of criticizing her. But there's no one stronger in the faith, no one stronger in her heart. Her son came into some real bad social status, and she didn't stand aside and say, I'm not associated with this guy. I don't know who he is. She stayed with him all the way to the cross and didn't worry about being painted with the same brush. That's Mary. So I'd like to, before finishing here, consecrate all of us to the Immaculate Heart of Mary as the parish of St. Andrew's, and learn from this woman what it means to really stay the course of the one true God in worship, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit in Jesus Christ. So if you'll please kneel with me and join me as I do this prayer. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. O Immaculate Heart of Mary, Queen of heaven and earth, and our tender mother, in accordance with your ardent wish made known at Fatima, and in union with Pope Francis' consecration to you of himself, his papacy, and the Church, I consecrate to your Immaculate Heart myself and this parish entrusted to my care. I consecrate and commit to you all the members of this parish, beginning with the weakest, the unborn, the sick, the disabled, and the elderly. I commit to you our families, our children, our young people, the single and the widowed. I pray especially for the dysfunctional, hurt, and broken families, for those seeking meaning in life but failing to find it, for the unemployed, the lonely, and the desperate. I pray for those who are away from the parish and are distant from the Church. Holy Mother, by your powerful intercession, obtain for us all the graces we need, and call down the Holy Spirit, your most beloved spouse, to heal and sustain us, to lead and conform us to the image of Christ, your Son. As your priestly servant, I speak for all here in my one voice for the many. We, the parishioners of St. Andrew Catholic Parish and School, renew and ratify today in your hands, O Immaculate Mother, the vows of our baptism. We renounce forever Satan, the devil, and all his works, and all his empty promises. We give ourselves entirely to Jesus Christ to be more faithful to him than we have ever been before. In the presence of all the heavenly hosts, we choose you this day of the Epiphany of our Lord Jesus Christ for our Mother. We deliver and consecrate to you our bodies and our souls, our goods, both interior and exterior, and even the value of all our good actions, past, present, and future, that you will dispose of them as you know best, for the greater glory of God in time and eternity. Amen.